for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, July the 7th, 2018. Carter B. Todd is the speaker of the service teaching on the promises of prosperity. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Multiplication. Everything about God in the kingdom is multiplication. He's not trying to shrink his church. He wants to build the church. Remember the story of the talents? He gave one man five, one man two, and one man one. He goes away, he comes back. Oh, one man has 20 now. He had 10 to begin with, 20. And then the guy that had two had four, and the one that had one buried his. This is talking about our talents. What are you doing with your talent? God's given you a talent. Have you wrapped it up in a napkin and buried it? Is your bushel over your light? That's not what the kingdom of heaven is about. He gives us the parable of the mustard seed. Smallest seed, huge tree, the birds come and make their habitation in the tree. God's parables were never, ever about lack and loss. Never. So why are so many of us in lack and loss? There's something wrong with this picture. And I really believe it's a doctrine of a demon that some have taken the promises that are ours and perverted them to make us stay away from them. Oh, I can't talk about prosperity. All right, here we go. She's teaching that prosperity message. I talk about dominion. She is teaching the law of attraction. She is this, you know, the naysayers. You're always going to have the naysayers. I don't care what people say. I only care what God says. And if He says it's mine, I'm going to have it. And I'm not going to let some naysayers stop me. There is a poverty curse on the church. The parable of the rich man. Let me find it in my notes. Like my box of puzzle pieces has scattered and I don't know where anything is, but I'll just tell you, and you can read it for yourself. The rich young ruler went to Jesus. Lord, where is that? I really need it. I think it's Matthew. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. That's not it. Anybody know offhand where that is? It's in my notes here, but I don't know exactly where it is. Well, hang on a minute. I'm just going to find it. I think it is in Matthew. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "What must I do? Our good master." He says, "Why call me good? There's only one good." You know what the word says? Honor your mother and daddy. You know, don't murder, don't do this, don't do that. He named everything. And the rich young ruler said, "I have observed all of these from my youth." But do you know the one that Jesus didn't mention? Have no other gods before me. And I think it was grace on the rich young ruler. Because if he would have added that, when the rich young ruler said, "I've observed all those from my youth," he didn't mention that one because he kept the boy from lying, the rich young ruler. But what he did say to him, "Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor." Now, here's where this scripture has been misused a little bit. You're not supposed to have nothing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Matthew 19. What?
19:16.
Thank you. Matthew 19:16. Yeah. Go and sell all that you have. But he said, and then it said, and the young man heard that saying and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He couldn't do it. That was the idolatry. He couldn't do it. He cared more because it said he had great possessions. He couldn't do it. That was where his idolatry was. Can God trust you with riches? That's a question you can ask yourself. You know, when the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, God had told Moses, they're going to ask their neighbors for jewels of gold and jewels of silver and raiment. And it said they despoiled Egypt. They left with all that stuff. Before it was time to go, Moses told the women, go ask your neighbors. And they did. And they gave it. And they left. And they despoiled Egypt. They left with all the riches. But do you know what the riches were used for? When it came time to build the tabernacle, melt down all that gold, make the cups and the candlesticks. And he gave them instruction. And the raiment, make a curtain. Use this kind of thread. People said, you know, God is he's a man of few words. He doesn't. And I say, have you read the Old Testament? Have you read his instructions to the temple? Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? God doesn't care who wins the Super Bowl. He cared about David and Goliath. Maybe there's a coach that's a godly coach that's looking to God for the to win. I think God pays attention to that. See, we have all these ideas about God, and it has done some harm to the body of Christ. Then Jesus said to the disciples, he said, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall with difficulty enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, there it is again. You can't have very much money because you're going to have a hard time getting to heaven. Can't have wealth and riches. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And it's Mark 10, 24 is what I was looking for. It's in Mark 10. Because it says in the same account in Mark, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches. Trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God because he trusts in his riches. The rich young ruler could not give up his riches. That was his identity. That was his worth. And he couldn't do it. And it was idolatry. The Israelites, with all those riches, they built the tabernacle. I don't think, maybe there were some of them who were quibbling. I don't want to give over all this gold. Well, it wasn't even theirs to begin with, was it? Everything that we have is not ours either. It's God's. If we give it to him, can he trust you with the riches? Can he? You know, there was a time that if I had some money that was, and let me tell you something. Oh, as a young woman, I had this dream home. Father would never have it, so the little house that we lived in, I fixed up like my dream home. And then guess what? We got the dream home. My husband is the dreamer. He gets the vision. I want to buy some property and build a house. I was a Sarah and Elizabeth. He thinks he's going to buy property and build a house. Well, we lived in it. My neighbor said, remember how you laughed? Y'all are living in that house. I said, I know, you're right. I quit laughing at my husband. He starts talking, I'm listening. And then I'm praying. If he can trust you with it, he won't mind you having it. It says in Matthew, be anxious for nothing. Here, we are anxious for stuff. He ends up saying, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those things will be added to you. That's what happened to us. I just started seeking God, seeking his righteousness. And all those things have been added to us. This is not to brag that we've made it. Hey, I'm not saying we made it. I'm expecting for God, because he can trust us with it, to do great and mighty things. To let wealth flow through us. What was it for? It said in the Old Testament, Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it." Deuteronomy 8:18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant." That's what it's for. "Which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day." He wants to establish his kingdom, his church, all of these things. Can he trust you to do that if he gives you the wealth and the riches? I'm pretty sure King David was dressed nicely, lived in a pretty good castle. I bet he had the finest chariot you could ever see. And I bet his kids rode pretty nice horses too. I bet they didn't have a raggedy, mangy looking something to ride. The king wouldn't let his kids go out like that. I hope this is provoking you to think and to search yourself. Ask yourself these questions. What do you want to do with your life? Do you really want to live it for God? Or you just want to get free so you can have fun without problems? This is serious business. Serious. It says in Malachi, "Bring the tithes into the storehouse that you might have meat." You know what that means? You know, it's so sad to see these pastors whose desire is to preach the Word of God, but they've got a full-time job and maybe even a second job. When do they get to sit and partake, commune with God, hear from God, know what God wants his people to hear? He's so busy working. That's why we should bring our tithes into the storehouse, so that there is meat. You take care of that man that is God's man, so that he can bring the Word of God to you. It's not so he can have 9 cars and a big fancy house. There have been some that have gotten off track with that, and it has caused other people not even to go near what God wants us to have and what God wants us to do, because some have misused it. That's a doctrine of the devil, to take the promise of God and pervert it so that you can't even have the promise of God, which are yea and amen. It says in Malachi to bring your 10%, and he'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so much you can't receive. That sounds pretty nice. But don't be like the man that said, "Oh man, I've got so much stuff, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones so I can put all this stuff in there." Thou fool, your life will be required of you this time. No, he wants us to be vessels that he funnels through to bless other people. I used to have, my people would pay my way everywhere because I couldn't afford it. And I couldn't, but other people would do it. And then there came a day that I said, "Lord, I so desire to be a blesser. I want to bless people." We walked away from our dream house and everything in it, and it didn't mean anything. We moved in with my parents, who were dying, to take care of them their last 3 years. I don't even miss that house, and nothing in it. All we had to do was clean out our closets. People that bought us, their house had burned down. I didn't even have to pack. Isn't that wonderful? That was a very freeing feeling, to just take our clothes and move on down the road. We have too much stuff. Our stuff owns us. And it's just a bunch of trouble. You got to dust that furniture. You got to polish your crystal and your silver. And no, I don't need all that stuff. I'd rather eat off a paper plate and I hate plastic forks, but rather than polished silver, I would rather eat with a plastic fork. It depends on where you are in your life. I don't mean to shoot down your dreams. Newlyweds, not shooting down your dreams. But I think you already have it right. You already know what it's all about. And God will funnel. He will funnel. That's what we should all want, is to be a funnel. And in that Malachi, he'll pour out a blessing more than than you can receive. More than enough. Not just to break even. Not just to get by. I'm sorry. My God is a God of more than enough. Abundant. Abundant. Paul said, I wish above all things that you would prosper. You look up that word. This is what it means. Succeed in material terms, be financially successful, thrive financially, flourish, to be in a period of highest productivity, excellence, or influence. That sounds pretty good. That's what it means to be prosper. That you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospereth. It's not just about your spirit. He just wants you to be rich in spirit. No, prosper in all your ways by the word of God. It says when you bring your tithe in the storehouse, he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Do you need a rebuker of the devourer? There was a time I said, Lord, we are tithing, but it's like everything we get, the enemy is just eating us up. What is the deal? That's when I learned about the enemy's camp, and we can go to the enemy's camp and retrieve what Satan has stolen from us. I can't tell you the number of things since I've been doing that have been restored to us. Restored to us. It's amazing. And when the thief's discovered, he's got to repay double. Two rings. Two. You learn these principles and you start. It says in Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. That means trouble and pressure. But the violent, the vitally active, energetic, and forceful, that should be your description. Vitally active, energetic, and forceful. Not sick, broke, poor, depressed. All the things that we see in the church that are oppressing God's people. These are his promises. And he's not a God that he should lie. But we've been robbed. Doctrines of demons have come in and stolen. And we've let them. We've given it over. We've rolled over and played dead because we don't want, God forbid, anybody should say, I'm preaching a prosperity message at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Well, God said, and I'm preaching a prosperity message at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Not to get rich, not to all that, but to establish his covenant. To establish his covenant. Neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time. You're going to have prosperous yield in your whatever you're planting. It's not going to fall off before you can get a harvest. All the nations shall call you blessed. Did you know that when the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, God said, okay, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. And I'm going to make them jealous through you. Why? Because you should be the most healthy, happy, successful, prosperous people. That they would say, I have got to know about this Jesus of yours. That's what it was intended to do. To establish his covenant. All the nations shall call you blessed. It means wildly, level, right, happy, going forward, honest, and prosperous. That's what blessed means. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Delightsome means a place of extreme pleasure, satisfaction, extreme satisfaction, extreme joy. Extreme, keen enjoyment. None of that's going on when you're broke. I've been there. I don't ever want to be there again. I want to be a good steward of what God gives me. I want to be a good steward to establish his covenant with the things that he funnels through me and Mike and our home. In Isaiah 53:4-5, well, it talks about the chastisement of our peace. Whatever is causing you not to have peace. He died for that. Peace means safe, well or whole, healthy, prosperous, at rest, happy, friendly, complete, lacking nothing, and restored. How many of you would like to have that? Let me see your hand. That's what he has for you. But that scripture that says the violent take it by force, the vitally active, energetic, and forceful take it, the promises of God, the kingdom of heaven, by force. And that means go after it and you don't stop until you get it. We've got work to do. We've got work to do as the body of Christ. So I encourage you with that. I hope that God has put his grace on this. That is, it will not go out as a prosperity message, the kind that, oh, this is just about, you know, driving a better car, having a bigger house, blah, blah, blah. That's not what it's about. And I pray that the grace of God was on the message that you got that. I bless you. And now I'm gonna break some curses. You know, I believe the Word of God. It says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. How many of you believe that? We're seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. We're up there with Jesus. We are joint heirs with Him. Everything that belongs to Him, we get it. The power, we get His power. People are always correcting me because I call on the mighty warring angels. Only God can send the angels. No, He gave that to us. Hebrews 1:14. Look it up in the King James Bible. Not all these other translations, because they changed it. King James says that they belong to those who shall inherit salvation. How many of you are inheriting salvation? He has given the angels to minister for, not to. There are ministering angels, but there are angels that are to minister for us. You know what minister means? Serve. I'm telling you, when you get down to the nitty gritty, it dispels every one of the. When people start questioning, I already know they don't even know who they are in Christ. No. Even Michael, the archangel, didn't rebuke. He said, the Lord rebuke you. Well, he was an angel. We are above the angels. We are human beings. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are seated in heavenly places. God doesn't get upset with me. Even when I read in Daniel, and I'm going to read it to you so you know it, so you can begin to use this. Verse 1, Daniel 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people. Are you thy people? Are you God's people? It says that he's going to stand up for you. The children of you. I've got kids that are in trouble. Father, I call on Michael, the archangel, to go and do battle in the heavens. That's how, was it Daniel who prayed the prayer and it was held up by the prince of Persia? See? We can call on him. And I do. And you can. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do. Now, you're not to pray to the angels. You're not to worship the angels. But you can call on the angels. That God gave them to us to help us. To help us. I was trying to decide between two messages. Because the other one is called Tools of These Times. And if you've never heard it, go to LHBCOnline.com and look it up and listen to it. Because it is a faith builder. It talks about dominion. It talks about angels. It talks about the things that God has given us. He has not left us defenseless and helpless on this earth. Yes, yucky things are coming, and it's going to get yuckier. But we have things to use that God has given us. The church never taught me that. Ever. I was taught to pray the Lord's Prayer. And I do. The 32nd Psalm. Powerful. But guess what? You got prayer and you got warfare. Spiritual warfare. Two totally different things. When you're praying, you're talking to God. When you're doing battle, you are taking authority over the devil. And God did give that to us. When I was crying out and crying out and crying out, He said, did I say to you that if you had faith as grain of a mustard seed, that you would ask me to move your mountain? That's what God said to me. That's my word says. It says, if I have faith as grain of a mustard seed, I shall say to the mountain. We got some saying to do. It's time to open your mouth and begin to use it the way God wants us to use it. Okay. So, Father, right now, I stand in the place seated with you, Jesus Christ, in heavenly places, a joint heir, a brother, a sister. And I take power over every satanic demon that is working against your people in the area of finances. Not only finances, but health, mental health, physical health, emotional health. In the name of Jesus, I bind you, Satan. Yes, we can bind him. Luke 10:19 says he's given us power over all the power of the enemy. That's another doctrine of a demon. Oh, you better not talk like that to Satan. You better not. You're not big enough. Jesus Christ is in me and he gave me power. I read it. He gave me power over all the power of the enemy. I'm not scared of the enemy. He does have power. There was a man here once. Devil, schmavel. The devil doesn't have any power. He's dead today. He's dead today, people. You've been given power and authority. Let's use it. I bind Satan, the thief, the robber, that kills and steals and destroys. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Y'all say it. Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to take your hands off my finances, off my wife, my husband, my children, my pastor, our church, our city, our government, our president. Use that power. I bind every spirit of Antichrist that tells you you can't do that. That is Antichrist. Jesus said you can. That settles it for me. If I ever had a bumper sticker, it would be that one. God said it, I believed it, and that's that. And honk if you love him. I won't even put anything like that on my car. I might have a bad day and embarrass my father. I'm not a violent driver. But we need to think about things like that. We're doing things and we got a Jesus sticker on our car. I bind every lying spirit that has told me I have no power and that I can't rebuke the devil. Michael the archangel couldn't rebuke the devil because he was an angel. You hear me?
Yeah.
I bind every spirit of deception that wants me not to believe what God said. I bind every spirit of perversion of every promise of God that's been perverted by those who got off track and caused us to be scared to claim the promises. That this is what they got. Oh, you're one of those. Name it, claim it. And I'm thinking, well, if it is mine, why shouldn't I name it? Why shouldn't I claim it? That's how that doctrine of demon keeps you away from it. I heard a new one. Call it, haul it. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. I've heard them all. I've heard them all. I am not into that stuff. I don't care what you say to me. I took dominion one day, and God gave it to man. He gave it to us. Who's using it? I start commanding, or I take dominion over the weather. You're going to leave today? There's tornadoes right down the road. I've already taken dominion. I'm not even thinking. I'm not even thinking about what they're thinking. I hear the weather coming. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. As Jesus did, I speak to that storm. I bind the violence in that storm. I bind all damaging wind, damaging hail, damaging lightning. I forbid the formation of tornadoes. In the name of Jesus. We will accept the nourishing rain. People say, oh, don't pray that. We're having a drought. We'll receive the nourishing rain, but not the flood. Those fires, I take dominion over the elements, and I command the wind. Jesus commanded the wind. He showed me how to do it. He's my example. I command the wind to change direction, or sometimes, depending on how, Lord, I send a bunch of angels to go and flap their wings in front of that fire and make the wind blow that way back on the fire that's already burnt and burnt out. You know, God is a very imaginative person. Have you ever looked at the bug? Oh, my goodness. The details that he puts into a bug and a flower. I'm telling you, he's awesome. And he wants us to be awesome. So I told the fella, I've already taken dominion over the breath. Oh, Lord God. They're going to mock you to your face. Same ones that mocked Jesus. They'll be around forever. And by the way, Jesus, when the disciple, I think it was Judas, or probably Judas, because he was the money, he took care of the money. The lady with the alabaster box, who poured her precious ointment on Jesus to prepare his body for burial. And they're like, do you know how many poor people that could have fed? We could have sold that and fed the poor. Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always, not so with me. He griped at them. You know, we read the scripture, we don't know the passion that Jesus Christ. No, y'all got it all wrong. I use the word. My son got engaged. He says, Mom, I think I rushed into this. I said, wait. What you must do quickly. I use the scripture all the time. That's what Jesus said to Judas. He just looked at him and said, what you must do quickly. And he left and sold Jesus down the road. Sold him to be crucified. Of course, it was written. You know, we're not going to change what's written, but we can use what's written while we're here. I confess for idolatry. I confess for idolatry. Lord, forgive me for having idolatry in my life. God showed me that my children, I was in idolatry with my children. He made me cut the umbilical cord and lay them on the altar like Abraham did Isaac. Many have idolatry in their children. Forgive me for being greedy for gain. Forgive me for having pride. Forgive me for being covetousness. Now, I command every spirit of idolatry, greedy for gain, pride and covetousness, come out right now in Jesus' name. Being jealous of what other people had. Hey, they probably asked God for it. Why don't you try it? I've heard testimonies of people being shamed by their poverty, driving an old jalopy. They park two blocks away if they have a meeting so nobody sees the jalopy they're driving. And there's others who have a fine car, but they also park two blocks away so people won't judge them for the kind of nice car they drive. That is schizophrenia in the church. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me. For chasing after the spirit of the world. Now I command the spirit of the world to come out of you now in Jesus' name. I loose the Spirit of God, of Christ, of the body of Christ, of the Holy Ghost into you. I loose it upon God's people tonight. Forgive me for having lust for money. Now I command lust for money to come out. Have it and be a vessel for God to flow blessings through. Don't build your bigger barn. Could be a death sentence. Forgive me for having love of money. You know, a lot of people say, money, the root of all evil. Wrong. It's the love of money. They've even perverted that. The world's picked that up. The love of money. That's the root. No, it's the love of money, not money. Money is just green paper with numbers on it. Forgive me for materialism. Don't let your stuff own you. I command materialism to come out of God's people right now. I break its power off of you and command it to go in Jesus' name. Mammon worship. Worshiping the almighty dollar. I break that off of you right now. Jealousy. I bind you and break your power. Jealousy. Listen, this is a journey and people are in all stages of the journey. I've been there. I know what it's like. It's hard. That's not where God wants you. Begin to ask Him, Lord, what do I need to do to get in the right place with you? That you can trust me. Religious spirit. Oh, gosh. Well, a list a mile long. I bind every religious spirit. From churches that you've been in or grew up in, and all of those generationally inherited, traditional, religious spirits, doctrines of devils, I break them off of you right now in the name of Jesus. And I command every Antichrist spirit, come out of you now. I'm not talking about the Antichrist. I'm talking about the spirit that is against those things of Christ. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. Take a deep breath. Religious spirits, get out of me in Jesus' name. I break doctrines of demons off of you right now. I break the poor mentality. I break the poverty mentality off of you right now in Jesus' name. It is not your portion. Go in the name of Jesus. And I loose upon you holiness. Holiness to be a good steward of the things that God gives to you. I bind the lie that God doesn't want you to have any money. He doesn't want you to have a nice house. He doesn't want you to have any of those things. I break the lie of that in Jesus' name. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I loose upon you the blessing of the Lord. It maketh you rich. I activate the power. He has given you power to get wealth.
Thank you, Father.
To establish His covenant.
Yes, Lord.
To establish His covenant. And I break the generationally inherited curse of poverty off of your life. Poverty is a curse.
Yes,
lack is a curse. Sickness is a curse.
Yes.
Deuteronomy 28. Look it up. He said we would not borrow. We would lend to many and not borrow. How many of us haven't noticed the bank? There was an example one time I heard. This preacher said, young couple came, terrible, terrible money problems. He said, I had a full exercise. Let's say Jesus comes to your house. He walks in. Whoa, this is a nice house. How were y'all able to get this? Well, Lord, we made a loan at the bank. And the furniture, beautiful. How did y'all get that? Well, we put that on our charge card. He went through the whole house doing that. And when he left, he turned around and looked at him as he walked out the door and he said, why didn't you ask me for these things? I might have given them to you. Now that was a new doctrine for me. Ask for stuff. Ask. He may not give it to you, but I've asked for a lot of things. And really didn't expect to get it. Lord, you know what I'd like to have right there? And I'm driving down the road one day, not long after that, and someone's cleaning out their attic, and there's one of those things on the side of the road for the trash. And it's in better shape than any of them I saw in the antique stores. I was so happy. I went and got it out of the trash. Actually, I sent my son down there. Precious memory of him carrying that dress form. Her hip was on his shoulder. I'm telling you, God will withhold no good things to those who love Him, who obey Him. He will withhold no good things. He desires to give good things to you. So I break the generationally inherited curse of poverty off of you and your family, your seed and your seed's seed forever. It's a curse. Break it yourself. Men, remember what I read at the beginning? In the home, as Jesus Christ in the church. Break those curses off your children. If they're disobedient, go to the door while they're asleep. You spirit of disobedience and rebellion, I bind you and command you to get off my child now in the name of Jesus. Get out of this house. That's how we ought to be treating those kind of things. Not like, oh gosh, I just don't know what I'm going to do with him. He's just so hard to handle. The power is in your mouth. I give leave to every familiar spirit of poverty from every one of you. Go. Familiar spirits, go. And Lord, I loose upon your people tonight a hungry heart after you, after your word, to do as it says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add. You know what it means to add? It means to make greater, more, add unto you. I bless you. I pray that this has been a blessing to you. I pray that you will take these principles and begin to use them in your life and begin to see a difference. He loves you. Amen.
Amen.
I love you too.
Amen.
Good night.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.